Hi everyone, Mike Hancock here. I'm the chairman of the Circle of Excellence group of companies, and welcome to today's webinar, wherever you're listening in from. We've got a great group of people live on the call today, so they better be ready to interact and answer some questions because this is something that we've all got experience with, and that is some type of event. But what I really want to talk about today is partnering with events. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to actually take us through a presentation now and show you how to partner with events. I'm going to give you some background to this. And it's so fascinating because I've been in my role as Vice President of the Global Speakers Federation. One of my tasks is to produce a document of best practice for events. And this has literally just been happening in the last little while. So I'm working with Joni Petty, who's a wonderful Circle of Excellence member, and she's got the job of bringing it all together and then producing the document for me, and then I'll put my love and energy into it. So she's put a team together. But to be frank, I looked at the team and I went, there's not a lot of experience in running events here. So last night I sent Joni a message and said, Joni, this is what I want you to cover on the meeting that's coming up in June, I think it is. I can't be at the call because I'll be in Greece on our Platinum Mastermind. We have one ticket left, by the way. Joni, I gave Joni a download, literally was a download, but went for 5 minutes of topics for the event. And she came back and she said, I wish Landy could do some sort of lobotomy and give me that part of your brain that just knows this stuff. And I said, Joni, it's not knowing it, it's doing 3,000 events, that it's just so much in my mind that I can go, this is what you need to do. So for those of you that are on this call that have never run an event and it's daunting for you, look, it's just a process like learning to drive a car or learning to play golf or anything else that we do. But the reason why it's so important is because we live in a world where it takes a lot of effort to get a meeting with one person. Okay. So why not put the same effort in and get a meeting with 20 people or 100 people? And so that to me is why events are so great. So let me do a quick screen share now and let's jump into what I want to talk to you about today, partnering for events. And the reason why I've talked about partnering is because when you partner with events, you can basically get rid of a lot of the reasons that you struggle with as an individual trying to think of how to bring an event together. And there are all different styles of events. This one is a lovely event, as you can see. But first, I wanted to talk about why an event. And for those of you that are watching this visually, feel free to throw things in the chat if you want to. I'm going to throw up a few different photos from different events too over time, just to keep you interested and engaged. Firstly, I love events because in events, it's one-to-many selling. And that means that you can touch so many more people with your message than having 20 coffee meetings in a week. If you're going to go out there and have 20 coffee meetings in a week or do one event, guess what? You're going to touch more people probably with one event than with your 20 coffee meetings. So it's a good use of my time. The second thing is sampling. Now, if you think of our technology, the money train and the five carriages in the money train are lead. So that is who's your Lisa? Who are you after? Trust. How do you build trust with them? Third carriage is love. How do you make them fall in love with you? The fourth carriage is the sale. And the fifth carriage is then the journey that you take them on. An event is very much about the second carriage. It's about building trust with people. When you walk through duty free in the airport and they say, try this aftershave or, try this lipstick, ma'am or sir, that's the fact is that you're sampling at that point of time. So an event is a way in which people in the audience can sample what you have to offer, the way you interact with them and your view of the world, your topic, et cetera, whatever it is. And that is a very, very important place to build trust. An event is also a great place to spread the word because not only are the people in the event your target market, but they're going to go home or back to work afterwards and they're going to talk to people. Hey, I just went to this event. Patrick was speaking. He's an amazing speaker. He had this insight, he did this, or he threw this around with the group, and none of us had the real answers. And I'd never thought of it that way. And that's what makes other people really think about whether they should get involved with you and what you're doing as well. It's also a great place for you to gain confidence. You know, putting yourself out in front of people is, you know, they say it's the most scary thing after dying is getting on a stage and speaking. So for many people, they feel that way. But putting yourself out in front of people, it's going to allow you to gain confidence, remembering that you are more talented in your subject matter than anybody that's sitting in that audience for a start. If not, why aren't they on the stage, right? And then seeing how the market relates to your message. This to me is really important to see what's landing with people and what is not landing with people. So for us, for instance, one of the reasons we rave on so much about the money train to people is because every time we talk about it at an event, it just lands. People just get it. People go, wow, I'd never thought about it this way, etc. So it becomes, instead of, you know, one of the 120 or 150 pieces of content that we have, it becomes in the top five pieces of content we have. Positioning is another one that we realize when we talk about it, people go, I haven't thought about it like that. So it's all about seeing how the market relates to what you're talking about. And the other thing is that you can concentrate energy into that event. So what I mean by that is it gets you focused on doing something. Now, we've got a Circle of Excellence member, in fact, who's running an event next week that they had been planning for months, but only decided to push go on it 2 days ago. So you would think that how are they going to even fill a room and do that in a week? In my mind, they can sometimes be the best events because of the concentrated energy. Philippe says, getting bums on seat is a challenge for most. Correct, Philippe. One of the reasons it's a challenge, not to be mean, is because we're asking for bums to turn up, right? This is very much our words create our reality. So you'll never see Mike and Landy saying we want bums on seats. We want our leases, our core avatar, the person that we are targeting, we want them on the seat. So for us, it's not about having hundreds of random people in a room. For us, it's about having the right people in our target market on the seat. Is it a challenge? It's a process, okay? The first two, three, four times you're going to do it, it's a challenge. But then once you've done it a few times, it becomes a process. So just try and think about it like that. Philippe says, according to most studies, people's number one fear is public speaking. Number two is death. Oh, very good. Okay, thanks for correcting me on that, Philippe. Death's number two. Does that sound right? This means the average person, if you go to a funeral, you're better off in the casket than doing the eulogy. Jerry Seinfeld, very funny and also probably very true. So an event has a lot of pros to it. The cons are, sure, you can blow it up and get nowhere. You know, I've done that plenty of times. I've flown across the world to do events and come out, you know, with nothing from them. That happens, right? But when you look at it overall, it is a magnificent strategy to magnify and multiply your business fast. So our topic today is partnering with an event. So let's talk about where to have it. So some unique spaces are really good places to have it, something that's unique. Now, Philippe, you made me think, what if you held it in a funeral home? Well, if you're a life insurance agent running an event, that mightn't be a bad place to have it, okay? But I like theaters a lot. I use theaters a lot for bigger events. This photo you see here is a theater with about 2,000 people in it in Singapore. But I like something unique. We're always looking for something unique, but it has to have the right feeling for it. It's all about energy management. So clear lines of sight, no columns, preferably something that the event is landscape, not portrait. So if you just look at your laptop screen now or the picture of me on there that you're looking at, you will see that I am landscape. What that means is that if the top of my head here where my hand is the stage, then I have this whole area here is the people in the room. That means that there is very little place for them to hide And as I move around the stage, I can actually talk to the people in the room and connect with them. Whereas if you set something up portrait, basically you're going to lose energetically the back third of the room. So have that awareness. If the room has pillars, anybody who is technically behind a pillar energetically is lost. And believe me, in impacting people and in getting your message across, this means something. Also, the way in which you set it up. You know, if you ever come to our events, you'll notice that we only do two styles. Well, actually three. One of them is banquet. That's our favorite style, round tables, so that everybody can connect and talk around a round table. So there's interaction. Theater style for bigger events, of course, but hopefully with it rounding the stage, not just flat theater style, but it rounding the stage. And the other one for smaller meetings, for instance, our Bali business schools and things like that, we often use a U-shape so we can connect with everybody and so that everybody can see everybody. That's all for energy management. The third thing is the style of venue is going to reflect in the price for which people pay for your services. And I'll give you a good example of that. At the moment for our masterminds, we are using 4-star hotels, but we're using 4-star hotels with nice boardrooms that have good flow to them, good light, and they've got a good vibe to them. So the energy, I'd much rather use that than a 5-star hotel boardroom that's going to cost me 3 times as much and the energy sucks in it. And often with the 5-star stuff, you'll find that the character's gone out of it and it's very, very clandestine. Let's call it that. So one of the other things that we do is we use a lot of private clubs to run events in. Why? When people come to private clubs, for instance, Patrick in New Zealand, we run our masterminds at the Northern Club. So why? Because of the prestige of the club when people come there. It's a beautiful room at the Northern Club for running smaller events. And I've run events in the Northern Club. We're up to about 30 people, and it's a beautiful thing. The other thing is you want to own the space. So you want to get out of the space where there's 1,000 events happening and lots of traffic and stuff like that. You really want to own that space. So there has to be, even if you're off a restaurant or something like that, there has to be a space in between that, which is sort of like the no man's land and then your space. If you don't own the space, or when you walk into the venue, you don't feel you own the space, it's going to cost you in messaging and it's going to cost you in money. And briefing is the key. With any venue, you have to brief them. And as Chris knows, because he's on this call, you have to rebrief them the day before, because even then we brief them again the third time as soon as we arrive. So if you forget to rebrief, there will be problems. When you get there, there will be problems. I think, you know, the 3,000 events that I've run, probably more than 90% of them, I've had to make changes on the spots when I've arrived. So with that so far, I'm interested in going to you guys here. And let's going back again. I want to ask you this question, the people on the call, and feel free to unmute in a second. I'll stop the screen share. Why would an event be a good thing for you? And what is a good type of venue that you think would work for you to host some type of event in? So let's go to everybody on the call. Feel free to interact with me and let's see who's got what to say. Let me just check and make sure I can see your hands and everything like that. Otherwise, I have to go and ask people. So let's see. Oh, look, nobody's going to put their hand up. Oh, it's a tough question. So, Ian, I'm going to ask you, because I know you've run lots of events, and then I'm going to come to Brenda, was it? I think you said that. So, Ian, let's go for you first. Yeah, why are events important, and what's a great venue for you?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's that one-to-many factor. It's getting the message out there and seeing the reactions. I love the interaction. I love quite intimate spaces, actually, but can be quite large. I mean, I've spoken to 300 or 400 people, but one of those curved style auditoriums that really works well, especially quite a steep one where you can see everybody, you know, going up as well. But otherwise, the banquet style, I'm totally in with you on that. And I think I agree with you, kind of 4 or 5 star. My kind of clients would go to that sort of venue and they wouldn't go to something crummy.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, we're blessed in many countries in which we live that we have options. Options being country clubs, options being good quality hotels, boutique hotels, hotels that are a little quirky and fun as well. So I'm not talking about necessarily your Ramadas or something like that, but I'm talking about hotels. There's some great hotels that are quirky around the world. Brenda, you were going to say?
Oh, I was going to answer the first part of your question, that the speaking for me this year basically is my marketing plan, and also to get my message out to more people in one time. So yes, the one to many, but as much creating, you know, like a mindset revolution is my goal this year. And I the reason I hopped on this call is I think it'd be really valuable for me to partner with someone who's got a really executive coach, high level business reputation, who does a little bit of mindset, but not as much as me. So venue wise, I would definitely push toward the upper end. But at the moment, I'm looking at being a speaker in other people's events. You know,
yeah,
like some
exactly.
Of the
Well, great.
Leadership
That's
events. Yeah.
Couldn't agree more. And I think with the thing that you're talking about, you definitely need a high level venue. Because you're in Auckland, I would definitely suggest Northern Club for you. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, the space is not ridiculously expensive as well, which is a good thing. So it's a lot cheaper than what you think. Or maybe I just pay that because we've got reciprocal
well,
member rights.
I know a member, so I'm fine.
That's very useful. Philippe says here in the chat, Van Halen did actually include a clause about a bowl of M&Ms. Yes, that's right. It was Van Halen and Metallica as well. M&Ms in their dressing room with the brown ones removed to test contract compliance with music venues. Absolutely 100%. And Ian says, I thought it was Ozzy Osbourne. So it's definitely somebody. I always thought it was Metallica. So let's not agree to disagree on that. Okay, let's jump back in. There'll be more stuff and I want more feedback from you moving forward as well. But for the moment, let's make sure the screen's there. So we've got the spaces. Let's move on. So I want to give you some event tips. So when you're running an event, your agenda for the event must really engage people. And nobody wants to come in this day and age to listen to 5, 6, 7 boring speakers speaking at you, okay, with messages the same, with PowerPoint slides with a bunch of words on them. That's going to do more brand damage for your business than anything else. The idea about being a presenter at an event is you want to be exciting, you want to be passionate, you want to be the best. Even if you're a speaker on this call, you need to be doing showcase type events. So your agenda must be engaging. You must have the key spot at the event. I mean, you're going to initiate this event with a partner, and we'll be talking about the partners soon. You're going to be initiating that. So you want the key spot. And so wherever you can get that, the best. The key spot for a short event is towards the end. The key spot for a one-day event is just before afternoon tea. So just keep those two in mind. You want to have prepared feedback forms and calls to action. So at the very least, you want to be able to capture from the event people's comments so that you can use those as testimonials and things like that. So also feedback, so that you can see if people are intrigued by what you're talking about. And you've got to have some calls to action, whatever that is. And calls to action, some of the best ones are QR codes at the moment, forms that people fill in, assessments, splitting audiences. I love splitting audiences. So if you believe this, go to the left. If you believe that, go to the right. But the people I actually want to talk to is that on the right, and the people on the left, I get them to do something entirely different. That gives me time and space with the people in the event I really want to have. What's the right length of an event? Well, it depends on the topic. No event should be shorter than an hour and a half unless it's online. So then you could have a webinar that's 45 minutes or something like that. But if it's live, you want it to be at least an hour and a half. Just like think of it like a film. And otherwise, it could be a morning, or it could be a full day, and then we're talking bigger events, which is something entirely different. Who else is needed to support? So many people turn up at events by themselves, but you can't do everything and you can't meet everybody. It's always good to have a wingman there. I've just been thinking about an event I'm doing later this year, actually, and I've been thinking about who's the right wingman for that, because Lundy's not the right wingman because she's also on stage. So I can't put her on stage and then ask her to be my wingman and collect business cards. It's not going to work, right? So I've thought of my wingman, or wingwoman in this case, and so I'm going to be asking her to support that event. And then, of course, what are the collaterals that you need to have at an event? Now, talking about partners at an event, there are, you know, very different types of partners that you can have. For instance, I want to go back to this slide for a minute, which is the Where to Have It slide. This talk here was partnered with Success Resources. It was a Success Resources event run by Patrick, who's the silent partner in Success Resources. But it wasn't about what they do. It was actually a charity event. And this charity event, each of us, you'll find the video for this online somewhere. My talk was, there were only about four speakers at this, auctions and other things. Each speaker had 5 minutes. But that 5 minutes for me opened up four or five opportunities in that auditorium. And I said there was a couple of thousand people there, but the opportunities were well worth it. So you can do some, you know, pro bono stuff, if you like, for some charities who can fill audiences with the right type of people. This event, as you can see from there, is at Mindvalley. So this is actually at Mindvalley's head office in Kuala Lumpur, in Bangsar, in Kuala Lumpur there. And Mindvalley put on this event for us and for some of their Malaysian clients. And what they were doing there is they were trying to give back to their Malaysian clients. So you get this a lot. You get people who want to give back to their clients, but they're not competent speakers. They don't have a message per se. Now, Mindvalley has 100 messages, but who are they going to get in Malaysia who they've got on their books? There aren't too many of them. So therefore, when we were traveling through Malaysia, we just stuck our hand up and said to Vision, hey, why don't you put us on a stage, put an event together for all your Malaysian people? He said, that's a good idea. So now that's how it happens. So it's just a matter of reaching out to some of these people. Let me just check the comments and move forward. Hi, Angela. Permaculture retreat for straight-talking self-sufficiency. Yeah, that can work. I wasn't aware you did speak at Mindvalley. I've spoken at Mindvalley a couple of times. Without shoes, there's no shoes in the auditorium there. Van at Kalen did actually include the clause about the M&Ms in their dressing rooms. Okay, thank you, Philippe. It looks like I'm wrong, Philippe. Looks like we're all wrong, Philippe. So Ian and I will change our statements in the future unless you hold us to bear there. So let's move on. So who are the natural partners for you? Well, this is the question that you need to ask. Who already has your audience? Does Mindvalley have Mike and Landy's audience? Yes, of course. Do Success Resources have Mike and Landy's audience? Yes, of course. So who already has your audience? What's in it for them? So that's the question they're going to be asking. What's in it for them? And often they don't need a lot to be in it for them. What they're looking for is they're looking for a touch point. They're looking for a reason to bring clients together. They're looking for a purpose. Lundy and I have done a couple of corporate webinar events for banks in South Africa, and they were paid events, so we didn't get to pitch stuff, but they were paid events for banks who wanted to bring together their high net worth individual clients and give them something different during COVID. Normally, they'd put them on the golf course or on a yacht or something, but we came up with this idea and a couple of them went for it. So, you know, what's in it for them? Sometimes it's touch points. What's the approach? Now, the approach, firstly, is really 10 questions. So for those of you in Circle of Excellence, it's in Module 4, right? So I would reach out to Ian Hatton, who's a potential partner of mine because He may have a group of people who has my audience, and I ask him questions. Ian, why did you agree to meet with me today? What were you hoping I could do for you that you haven't been able to do for yourself? What's going well at the moment? In a perfect world, you know, where do you want to be in 12 months' time? What do you think are the three top things holding you back? And then I'd be going, okay, so you need more touch points with clients. You need to open your business. You need to do things differently. What you're doing now is not bringing in enough people. I would like to suggest to you an event. And an event where, oh, no, I don't want to do an event. I can't speak, et cetera, et cetera. You know, no, I want you to put an event together where I speak. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to lift you up during that. I'm going to share with your clients how great you are. You're going to get a lot of third-party endorsement here. And that third-party endorsement is going to bring your brand up. By the way, I can talk about anything that you want me to talk about, but it also gives you the opportunity to come in with some slides and mention what you're doing and build up your clients. That's the approach, folks. It's not rocket science from that perspective. By the way, if you want to offer them money, if you're selling something at the event, then offer them money. If you're selling something after the event, then offer them a percentage of that. And we do a lot of events where we're offering people percentages of whatever we sell. So that is where to do it. What do they need to get going? You've got to give them the marketing material. You've got to have the emailers for them. You've got to have the pictures and the banners and everything for them. You've got to create a pack. So if I give you the pack now verbally, then you can make your own note on it, or you can re-listen to this part of the recording if you want. But in a pack that I would give an event promoter, a partner, I would give them three emailers. I would give them a series of about 9 different social media posts that they could do. I would give them banners for their main, I'd find out whether are they on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn. I'd give them banners that they can use on each of those things. I would give them some video, some quick video, 10-second, 15-second videos that they can use. Like, hi, Mike Hancock here. I'm really happy to be speaking at Ian Hatton's event. He's an amazing guy, and I know that you people as his clients are just going to love to see what he's doing. And on that event, I'm going to be talking about blah, 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 right? So that sort of thing. Give them enough collaterals that they have got more than enough to choose from, and then get them to agree to how much promotion of that they're going to do. Remember, it's their event, and it's their brand behind it. You want to have the auditorium, the venue, you want to have their banners in it. You want their person, signing people in at the door and all of those sort of things. Or they can work with you and your person, your team, whatever. Let me go to the chat, but now we're going to go to a question as well. So I want to ask you, that who already has your audience? So if somebody here can tell me and answer that question for me, of who already has your audience, I would love to know what you think. Are you stuck there? Let's unplug this a little bit. Who would like to share? Silence is golden. Thanks for the personal note about my microphone there. I've been bumping it around a bit against the desk, so I promise I won't do that anymore. Andrea says, I'm connected into business networking groups who have my audience. Absolutely perfect. You know, if you're trying to work with anything that's in the small business area, BNI, small business networking groups, meetup groups, you know, they might only get 10, 15 people there, but those 10 or 15 can be amazing. I know when we were in Auckland about 4 years ago, Landy and I did a talk for a networking group. There was 32 people in the audience. We got $60,000 worth of business out of that group. So that is definitely a great idea. Some entrepreneur organizations, yes, absolutely. Heather, I saw your hand up. What would you like to share?
Sorry, my video is not working. I'm not sure what's going on. I think that there are some other LinkedIn groups and networks that have my audience. And then in the circle of excellence, there are lots of overlaps with people like Morpheus that has my audience, Brenda that has my audience, that I think we could obviously put something really amazing together, actually.
Look, I think Landy and I both think that within circle of excellence probably exists everybody you need to leverage your business to the next level. And it may not be them. It may well be who they know as well. So, you know, highlighting, that's why I said to Patrick before, you know, take a screenshot of who's on this call and connect with some of them. Go and look at what they're doing. They're in the circle of excellence with you. They've all been vetted. This is a trusted, like, look at the sign behind my head. It says here, your trusted worldwide community. These are good people on this call. So there is a great places to network and do some things here. Brenda says, I often get asked to speak with architecture industry groups. Fabulous. So there may be one particular industry that really resonates with your message. And that's a great idea as well. And Patrick says, trade industry bodies. Absolutely, Patrick, for you guys, it's definitely that. But it could also be in the science space because those people work for organizations. So it could be in those type of product creator space and things like that as well. I think each of you need a list of probably at least 10 to 20 people who already have your audience. For many of you, you're going to find this easy. For those of you that are doing this for the first time, you may find it a little bit more difficult. But for some of you, export groups, somebody mentioned LinkedIn groups. I think it was you, Heather. LinkedIn groups, like I would be looking at a LinkedIn group, and if that was incredibly active, then I might say to, you know, I'm talking about when posts go up from the group, there's 10, 15, 20 comments regularly. That's what I'd call pretty active, a lot of likes, you know, 30, 40, 50 likes. I would be reaching out to that person and suggesting to them that you do an online summit. And that you have, and you already pre-plan it, invite some of the other people that you know, maybe they're in Circle of Excellence, maybe they're not, and say, let's put a summit on for 2 hours on this day. I'll bring three speakers. We're each going to talk for X amount of time. You talk about the group and what your mission is for the group, et cetera. Let's do some networking. Let's facilitate some networking there for people in the group. That can be a great way to leverage people in LinkedIn. Ian says, what is your view of virtual versus in-person events? I'm specifically thinking of global collaboration with partners. You know, I think, Ian, the answer to that is you've got to play it as you see it, right? So I just gave you an example of that would be difficult to pull a live event together with somebody like that who's running a LinkedIn group, and their interest level may not be that high to do that. But there are so many people that have the potential to run live events that haven't even thought of it. You know, the only reason all of us on this call know who Tim Ferriss is and the 4-Hour Workweek is because Tim Ferriss launched the 4-Hour Workweek at Twitter's live event. Twitter decided to run a live event. Tim Ferriss got somehow on the agenda for that event and launched the 4-Hour Workweek. And that led it to become what it is. So don't think that companies in the tech space don't want to run events as well. You know, we have a client in Cape Town who runs an AI-based business. And Chris has been out to look at his business. I've never been there. Half of his business space is an event space. We've considered running events in there, but it's not quite appropriate for us. But he runs regular events in there and he allows the Chamber of Commerce to run events in his space because that's how he gets clients. He's very, very smart with that. So there's a lot of people out there that can do that type of thing. So, Ian, I think you can talk from a longer term. I think you could come up with an event package, partner with an events management company and literally produce a pitch to a global organization who's not running a global event at this stage. You could do that, but the low-hanging fruit is to do an online summit. That's the low-hanging fruit. Okay, Heather says, Mike, would you charge guests for the LinkedIn summit? I probably would, yep. It'll be a low cost, but I probably would charge them for that. It might be $20 or something like that. And the reason why is you'll get less people, but you'll get more turn up and those people will be serious. You'll get a better quality of audience there. Okay. Other people can watch the recording, but you know, if you want to be on it live, you've got to pay $20. You can interact with the people, do live networking, et cetera, et cetera. You know, find a way to spin it so there's value there. Let's jump back into our presentation. So we've looked at this. Who already has your audience? What's in it for me? In other words, for them, what are the approach and what do they need to get going? This event that you're looking at in the photo here is actually from Bali, but you'll see me. I pretty much stand out in the middle there in my blue shirt. But this event is probably the most multicultural event I ever spoke at. I think there were people from over 100 countries in this event. And this event was put on by actually a Russian company. And the Russian company was wanting to get people who were in their networks and they were wanting to work with from around the world. They brought them to Bali for 2 days and they gave them to me for 2 days. So, and my job was to just do what I do. And at the end, have people go, this is so fantastic. This company must be amazing. And then to invest and join the company. That was basically what it was about. So they already had my audience, lots of entrepreneurs in this, lots of very successful business people in this. Okay, moving on. I want to give you a case study. And this is, Heather, this is where you're going. This is the Tight Five, as this photo is from 2007. So it's 17 years old. No, I never age. I just get older, right? So this was the event. We call it the Tight Five, which is a rugby term for the five people who packed down in the scrum first. It's a New Zealand thing. It was in New Zealand. The speakers at the event were Ali Mooney below me on the left, John Shackleton in the middle, Hannah Samuel or Ferguson as she is now, and Bill James on the right there. I was speaking with Bill yesterday, in fact. And we put it forward as New Zealand's five best big business speakers. Ali spoke about personality profiles. Mike spoke about leadership. John was a motivational speaker. Hannah spoke about reputation. Bill spoke about sales. It was a breakfast event, 6:30 till 9 o'clock. Breakfast is served from 6:30 till 7. Then at 7 o'clock, the first speaker walks on stage. Five speakers, 15 minutes each, plus an MC in the middle. A great venue. The venue that we used for this generally, or we had a couple of different venues, but the main one we used, if we could get it, was the Eden Park Rugby Hall of Fame. And that held 300 people, which was packed to the gunnels for the first event. The least number of people we had in this event, we did it for 3 years every quarter, was 150 or 160 people, which was the last one that we did. And all we did was get up and do a 15-minute showcase of our talks and have a feedback form there that said, which speaker did you like the best and which one do you want more information from? Tick the box, put your name down there, and we will be in contact. And that's how we all filled our diaries full of work for the year through these breakfasts. Very simple. We charge for them. We didn't pay for the venue. The venue was basically there because breakfast, you know, we bought 300 breakfasts, but the 300 breakfasts were all paid for. So there was a booking site, let's call it $20 for breakfast or whatever the price was. People went on there and booked. We all reached out to our client lists, our databases, our social medias, whatever we could, and that's how we filled the rooms. And as I said, you know, 150 to 300 people every time for 3 years, doing it once a quarter. This is a wonderful way for you to showcase what you're doing with other people. Now, you don't have to be a speaker to do this. You can be a subject matter expert. So, for instance, Patrick and Angela, you can do this with other people in the health and well-being industry. You can talk about, you can have an expert from exporting in there. You can have a manufacturer in there, i.e. Peter. You know, you can put that together from that perspective, and you can have a couple of people who have got big lists. You could even team up with, if you're an alumni of a university, say Massey University, and ask them to sponsor the event with these key people to talk about exporting products on New Zealand health to overseas. And you might find that, you know, you get a venue for free at one of the campuses, say the Auckland campus of Massey Uni. And of course, they've got a massive alumni. And in that, you might pick up a whole bunch of interested people from that to come along and do that for something like a 2-3 hour or morning or afternoon event or an evening event, depending on what you want to do. So I'm happy to take any questions that you've got on the case study there. In the meantime, Brenda says, I often get asked to speak to architecture groups. I've got that one. Last two, I know these people. I actually think I went to a couple of those breakfasts, Andrea. Maybe you did, then you would have seen me speak at that point of view. So feel free to unmute. I'm going to leave the slide up, but if you've got any questions on this whatsoever, I'd love to hear them. Let me just see if I can see all of you there. That was a better one for me. Okay, let's no questions. Oh, we might have something in the chat here. Let's go. Patrick and I have the opportunity of New Zealand Trade and Enterprise in the Waikato if anybody wants to join in June. Now, there's a great thing. Brenda says, I'm super keen if later in June because she's going to be in Greece with us early in June. Ian, you raise your hand. Go for it.
Yeah, this is an idea I've been playing with, is exactly what you've shown, because I think I first heard you talk about this about 3 or 4 years ago, and I really want to do it, and I'm not quite sure why I haven't, and maybe I'm not convinced that my closest friends who I would love to do this with have all of the audience. So to me, you know, Philippe said right up front, bums on seats is the big thing, and I'm not sure I know how to do that properly.
High quality individuals on seats, Ian. So you might look at the people who are not your friends, but can bring people. So they've got to be good people, right? But you know, if you look at speakers who have been in business a long time, who have a good following in this country, you could do this with Robin Banks. You could do this with Steph Duplessis. You could, you know, the list goes on and on and on. Right. So from that aspect, there are many you could do this with. Nikki Bush, she's got a great list. Right. So there are many different people that you could involve. And when I kicked off this idea back in the start of 2007, I didn't know Hannah at all. And I didn't really get along that well with John at that point of time. But I knew and loved Ali and I knew Bill. And so I went to Bill and Ali, and they just loved the idea. And they both, Ali's got an amazing database. And she suggested I bring in John because he's got an amazing database. And Bill suggested we bring in Hannah because she's got a great database and she's a great person, great speaker. So that's what we went for. And I had the worst list because I hadn't been working in New Zealand. I'd been working overseas. So my New Zealand list was rubbish. But it didn't matter because I put the idea together. I put the event together. And basically the room was filled with other people's, you know, clients. And because you don't talk about the same things, but you're complementary, then that's what makes all the sense there. So I would look broader, Ian. There may be also a subject matter expert who could potentially be part of this. So I'll give you one who is a great Circle of Excellence member. That's Chantel Botta. And, like, you know, Chantel has a great list. She's got a massive business. She's a wonderful person. She's not typically a speaker, but she speaks a lot. So, and she's, you know, spoken on a lot of big stages. So that's definitely who you might be able to work with. Okay, let me move on. So here's some event options. I would do a breakfast event if I was trying to bring together industry CEOs and high-profile people. Why? Is because as soon as they get to their office, you've lost them, okay? They get involved in dramas and meetings and things like that. So hence, for the meetings that we just ran in with Type 5, they were always breakfast events. You know, you literally want them to get out of bed, shower, and drive into your venue, have their breakfast, and they're still at the office just after 9 o'clock. That's the key with it. We always managed to finish about 8:45. So that let people who really were going, oh, I want to go at 9, I want to go at 9, they were over and done by 8:45. Because as you can see, five speakers speaking for 15 minutes each is 75 minutes. So with an MC, that takes an hour and a half. With a couple of people going over time and whatever else goes on, you know, you're definitely well inside of 9 o'clock if you start at 7. So that allows people to get away early. That's what I would do with high-profile people. If I had alliances, if I was trying to build alliances, I would do a lunch event. Now, what does that mean by, in order for you to run an event, you may actually want to do an event so you can find partners. So we call them, Landy and I call them dine and deals, and we do them quite regularly when we travel. And that is that we pull together a group of people, and with that group of people, we organize a restaurant. Everybody comes in, they pay for themselves, we don't pay. And we literally get them networking for the hour and a half that we have lunch, but then we get to pitch our stuff. Of course, we get our 10 to 15 minutes where we get to pitch what the real reason is that everybody's there. They work really well, and people love them. People have a good time. You pick a good restaurant. You get a private spot in the restaurant. Like if you can get a private room, it's fantastic. That works really well. And you can open marketplaces with that. So, you know, Ian, next time you're traveling, if you're going to, I don't know, London, for instance, you might want to do a couple of dine and deals and bring in the type of partners that could fill events for you in London in a future time. If you've got targeted prospects and you really know who they are, I would suggest some type of mastermind event like we run. Most of you on this call have been to one of our masterminds. They still work very, very well for us. We don't have to sell anything at the mastermind, as you know. We don't pitch anything. We just simply sample our work for 3 hours. So, and that does enough for them to have people to say, I would like to work with these guys. What's next on the agenda, et cetera, et cetera. Joint speaker events is sampling. When I say joint speaker, you don't have to be a speaker. I mean, you can be an expert, a consultant, a retailer, whatever you are, it doesn't matter, but you're a speaker at that event. That allows the audience to sample what you do. And I can't tell you how important that is that you do that, whether it's online or offline. By the way, if you're doing an online event like that, I wouldn't sit down and do that necessarily like I'm sitting down talking to you today. I would probably use a different format. Often I'll have, we'll stand and we'll have the flip chart. We'll work off a flip chart to do it, but we'll be standing. So we do that a lot. Otherwise, we have a much different bit of technology where we split our screen so we're at least as big as what we're talking about on the screen. So that's that can happen as well. So the other one is a one-day event. I would run a one-day event if I want to sell something. So we run these business mastery global events from time to time. They're there for us to pitch stuff. We're pitching on that. You know, we're selling things from stage from that. There are other speakers that are involved, but there's always something to buy at those events. And then an evening event is really a preview. And a preview, another way is it's sampling, but it's sampling with much more of a purpose than just sampling. Generally, what it is, it's the start of your funnel as you're channeling them into something. So you might have a preview event. I used to run lots of preview events. I haven't done for some time. But an evening event would be, I would run a preview event called Business Mysteries Revealed. And that would be my evening preview event. And I'd make it really mysterious. I'd do a lot of ancient wisdom in it. I'd open people's minds a lot. And then I'd drag them for that into some other part of our environment, depending on what I wanted on the day. So there'd be some samples there. This was a fantastic venue that you see in the photo there behind you. This is in Paris in France. And this is a great venue that we used a number of years ago there. So, you know, really making an impact. And also when you get the right group together, try and get photos and things like that. One of the speakers that I see who does this just so brilliantly, there's a speaker and two bands that do this brilliantly. The speaker is from New Zealand. His name is Cam Calcoon, Cam, C-A-M, and Calcoon, C-A-L-K-O-E-N, I think. If I spelled that wrong, I'm sure somebody will correct me. But at the end of every speech that he does a selfie with the audience, and that's what he posts on his social media. And he's got amazing selfies. Like he's got probably 100 of them now with different audiences, and it's just so cool to use that. The bands that use that, if you're in South Africa, have a look at what Prime Circle does. They do a selfie with the audience at the end of their gig, and the Dead Daisies, which is a super group. They do it, they're playing stadiums. They do selfies with the audience at the end of their gig as well. That is just such great content that you can use and is really good and helps other people know that, you know, people are loving you and you're really good at what you do. Let's get into some of the questions here. Let's see. Oh, I think I've covered it all on the chat. So let's move on. Filling the event. High quality individuals on seats. So multiple partners. So what I mean by this is having multiple partners to fill an event. Don't sort of mix all the same type of partners together necessarily, but then you could have multiple partners that are all the same. So you could have a group of business coaches filling your events, right? That can work, but I do like to mix up partners. So a multiple partner event would be, you know, you might have a real estate company, an insurance company, and a legal firm filling your event for you. That could be it. Also asking your participants to fill the event. So as you're getting bookings, reach back out to them and say, because you booked early or because you're an early bird booker, we want to give you a free seat. All you have to do is tell us the name and email address of the person you want to bring along, and it's absolutely free, right? So that works also. Your own list, of course, is a great way to fill events. LinkedIn is a great way to fill events. We fill lots of events through LinkedIn. Yes, it takes work. Sorry about that, but it doesn't take as much work as what you think. So, you know, these days to get a mastermind full of 12 people, Chris will correct me if I'm wrong, we're reaching out to about 500 to 600 people. That takes about 30 seconds each plus the messing around. So say 2 minutes each. So let's call it 1,000 minutes. So 1,000 minutes to do that, you know, that might take a week's work to fill an event. I don't even know what 1,000 minutes in, 60. So 10 of those, 10 hours, not even 20 hours work. And so to fill an event whereby, you know, if you're good at doing this, you're going to make money at it. So when you go, oh, this is an awful lot of work, think about it realistically, folks. Chambers of Commerce, there's lots of events already going on that you can slot into. Lions clubs, Rotary clubs, there's always those type of people. For many of you, you know, you're members of these things, but you've never spoken there and people don't know what you do. You're just the happy person that turns up and volunteers your time. And my question is, who has a list and they need money and reputation increased? They're the people who are going to help you fill an event. So they have a list and they need money and reputation. You know, the first events I ever ran when I stepped out of corporate and started my property investment company, I built that company off events. It was technically an events company that did property investment. I just went to every accountant and every financial planner that I could and said, can you invite your clients to this event? And some of them would. And then I'd run the event. And then I'd share all about the property market and what's going on and how they can invest and how good it is and all of that sort of stuff. And then I'd have my call to action. I'd get all my leads. I'd follow them up. I'd sell them. And then I'd pay commissions to the people who introduced them to the accountants and financial planners. By the way, I've also used accountants to fill entrepreneur events. My own accountant, he's probably filled. I've stopped doing it now, stopped asking him because his audience has changed. He's moved out of the entrepreneur space more into the property market. But I've probably done 6 events with him and I've got clients out of his list. So, you know, those events have had 15, 20 people in the room, but they're good, solid events. They really are good, solid events. So your accountants, your lawyers, all of those people have a list and they need either money or reputation, some of them both. Other stuff you may want to know. Let's just go back a minute. There's Lundy on stage at a wonderful event there that we ran that we pulled together in a week and had 100 people in it. So you can pull together events in a week. Other stuff. You want to run an event, even if you don't run events, quarterly at least. So I think you should do this at least quarterly. Something like breakfast for 20, lunch for 10 people. Just keep asking partners whether you can run an event for their clients and get their clients in a room so that you can uplift them. If they need money, you can give them a cut perhaps on any sales that you get. You want to refine your pitch. You want to refine your talk. This is a great place to do it. And of course, have fun, just like we're having fun there. And that's in a 16th century French castle in the middle of France. So that's what I've got to share with you today. Let's finish up by getting any feedback from you guys about what you learned, what you're going to implement, et cetera, et cetera. So who would like to share something or has a question to finish it off? Andrea says, I had an event I ran in 6 weeks with 135 attendees and paid. Crazy, but it was great. Yeah, that's one of the fun things about events. They're like a wild horse, many of them. And I know we've run events where 2-3 days beforehand, I'm going, oh, no, this is not going well. And then I get there on the day and it's gone very, very well. And sometimes it's not about the numbers of people that turns up. It's about the who turns up. And so one of the keys for events, if you're running events, is if you're expecting 50 people, don't set the room for 50 people. Set it for 30 people. Learning today from Philippe is high quality person in the audience equals idea clients. No bums. Great. Ian, could you show the last slide again, please? Oh, you'll have to pay me to do that. So let's see if I've still got it here. Okay, there it is there. Coming right up for you. The other stuff slide. Quarterly at least. Try and get a breakfast going for at least 20 people who could be in your target market, particularly if they're high individuals. That's a nice thing to do. A lunch for 10 people to get them together, do a dine and deal, experience that. That'll be fun. Keep asking people. Use this whole thing to refine your own pitch and your talk and have fun with it. We are pretty much out of time. And dearly, lesson equals if targeting C-suite, breakfast works and get them out by 9 o'clock. Brilliant. If that's the message you've got, then that's a wonderful message. Folks, I want to thank you for being on the call today. We've got a couple of minutes here. You know where to find me if you need me. Apart from that, have a wonderful evening, afternoon, day, morning, mid-lunch, you know, in the middle of the night, whatever it is for you. And thanks once again. I'll be back talking to you here in this environment in just a few weeks. Catch you later. Bye.
Thanks, Mike.